ashes. But you saw the plan. I wandered out in the world for years, while you just stayed in your room.
I saw the crescent.
You saw the whole of the moon.
I saw the whole of the moon as I was driving into Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Looked like a full moon out there this morning. Did you see that, Sam? And we're back. Matt Flynn direct this week. Don Brown connect. And for those of you who don't know, I am the outgoing first district alderman for the Waukesha Common Council. We'll be vacating my seat because of redistricting. But thanks to Walk Radio, I am alderman for life. Don Brown here at the future former office of Alderman Don Brown, also known as Walk Radio Studios. And welcome back to the show. Wanted to finish a few points. We were talking about youth baseball, and you know, you'd like to see more kids being able to play. It's become so expensive now with these clubs and what it costs to join. Our Parks, Rec, and Forestry Department has a youth baseball program. Typically, you know, I think it meets like once a week and maybe a few weeks in the summer. But I remember where I grew up, and in a lot of communities, for like $25, you know, mom or dad dropped you off at 9 in the morning, and you played till 12. And the coaches were guys that were playing home from college, that played college baseball, or for sure played high school baseball, and really knew a lot about the game, and were great coaches, no political agendas, as many father coaches are often blamed of being. But you did some skills and drill. And if you love baseball, like, that stuff was fun. But you also spent most of the morning scrimmaging. And that's where I really learned how to play. And then at night, if you were on a little league team, which also back in the day cost $25, which got you a uniform and a ticket to get a freeze pop or a snack after the game at the concessions. And yeah, you know, you had to pay for, you know, your own glove and your own cleats, but coach had a big bag of bats and balls and catcher's equipment. Now it's like every kid's got to pay for that. And it's just become really tragic. It's, you know, I'm not afraid to call it the dumbing of America. Would really like to see baseball and some of the youth sports more accessible and affordable for our kids. And I think we have a wonderful park and rec department, and would love to see them develop that further if possible. You know, again, a lot of it's market demand, and I think that's why they've scaled back, is because you have these private clubs. But it's one of my charges. I'll be starting a neighborhood association for my neighborhood, and one of the main charges will be to make baseball affordable and accessible. In fact, I'm also working with one of my neighbors, Bonnie, and I've been taking too long on this. Is we want to start a foundation or a fund in honor of Bonnie's husband, the late Ron Frederick, who was Banting Park's number one fan. You know, Ron used to watch every game of Rounders going on, baseball, softball, any age. He loved it. It was like he had front row seats for the Brewers, behind the Brewers dugout. It was always a thrill to him. And in his later years, as his health was starting to diminish, he'd just pull out his lawn seat right at the edge of his driveway there on Butler, overlooking the park, and loved watching the kids play. And so in his honor, you know, we're starting this fund that can help some of these families make it affordable for their kids to play, because it's America's game, and every kid should have the right to play. So enough on that. But yeah, I will say, in all honesty, I have four kids. You know, three of them played ball at least through their youth, and two went on to play on select teams. And I could honestly count on one or two hands the number of children of color that either played with or against growing up. And so, you know, again, that's got to change. And then even just, you know, from a class perspective too, I mean, there's a lot of families, you know, regardless of ethnic background, that this, you know, it's hard to be able to afford to play. And so that, you know, that's got to change in a flying hurry. So enough on that. But I did want to shout out Parks and Recreation, because I had a great phone call with Ron Grawl yesterday. One of my, I guess you could say, proudest accomplishments with Alderman is working with the neighbors around Predeman Park about redesigning their playground, and then also relocating this tiny basketball court that was located not only right next to the children's playground, which I can never understand the logic behind that, but also right up against a residential lot line. And so the people living there just would hear all the noise. And to make matter worse, you'd have bigger kids. Like, they thought that that was a suitable place to play basketball. And it's probably, that court was probably the size of the room that I'm in here at the studio. But the noise in the late night, and even the violence and the swearing, the profanity, it just, it got too much for many of those neighbors. Other neighbors wanted to keep the court because they saw it as a great benefit for their kids to be able to walk to and play, and that's understandable. So the parks, working with the neighbors, came up with a great plan to put the court on the other side of the park. And if you're familiar with Peterman Park, off of the kind of the right field, you know, the first baseline, further away from that residential. And like, so the closest houses are across the street. And I think the one house that's closest to it isn't even City of Waukesha. It's part of the breakaway Republic of the Village of Waukesha. So, and if I was still, you know, if I were ever calls, I would just say, well, we'll call your village and have them call our city. So, or join the real city. But it was a great opportunity to work with neighbors and come up with some solutions. And, you know, not everybody was happy with the ultimate solution, but it looks like the best situation, because what we did is we took away the second basket, so you can't really play full court basketball. Not that you could, because it was tiny, but again, a lot of people, young and old, thought it was suitable for that. But so there's just one basket, but then the families really wanted to see something for the kids to be able to play on that was uniquely there. So the city came up with a plan on the same side of the slab to have an adjacent basket that's smaller, that's adjustable from like 8 feet to all the way to the standard 10 feet, so that younger kids had a basket to shoot on and to practice on, you know, thinking if you're like under the age of 10, something just for them. And so I thought it was a great idea. But anyway, I got a call from a frantic neighbor because they're finally getting the baskets up, and they saw that both baskets were being put together at the same dimension at 10 feet. And so I called Parks, I called the main number and left a voicemail for the one staff member that was overlooking that. But then I decided to call back and say, look, I really need a live voice. You know, if Ron is there, the director, or anybody. And Ron, they put me through to Ron, and I explained, and Ron's like, yeah, no, that wasn't the communication we gave, or that wasn't the order. So we hung up. He got on the horn right away, and the problem was resolved. Had the guys go back there. And when I called the neighbor to tell him the good news, he said, yeah, I saw the truck came back. And the point I'm making here is just the level of responsiveness you can count on from our city government, and not just in Parks, Recreation, and Forestry, although they are a shining example of the kind of service you get. You know, human error does happen, and there was a miscommunication, but the fact that they responded to a neighbor's call as quickly as they did and resolved the situation. So anybody listening from Peterman Park, you can rest assured knowing that second basket's going in dedicated for the younger kids. So and that'll be ready just in time for spring, and looking forward to a better situation for the neighbors there to play. And you again, all are welcome, but remember, it is a neighborhood park. I mean, the homes basically abut right to the park. It was originally a pasture. It was kind of a little tribute to the Peterman family that owned all that land there. That's now that neighborhood was their farm. And so that what was originally intended is just a pasture, just green grass and basically a lot for the kids to play on and do all sorts of things. It then evolved into, they've had a diamond in there for the younger youth baseball as well as maybe grown-up softball. And then they added the playground, and then there was that basketball court that was just in a bad spot. And at the time when they were doing that, that was the trend, was to maximize space by putting in these tiny basketball courts. And I think the thought process was, well, if you're a parent and you're taking your kids to the playground and maybe you have kids that are a couple years older, the bigger kids can shoot some baskets while the little kids are on the playground, and mom or dad or both don't have to go from one side of the park to the other to make sure the kids are all right. And also they get to play together. But when people decided that was where they wanted to play serious basketball, you know, the last place, and I played basketball in high school and I was serious about it, and the last place I would want to play is right next to a children's playground where I have to worry about, like, breaking my leg over a bouncy ball that goes onto the court, or worse yet, knocking a little kid over and possibly hurting them as they're going to chase for a ball or something. And then, of course, all these young children and their families being within earshot of some of the vernacular that we like to use when we're playing, especially when I do have those off days and the shots aren't going in. So, or maybe I catch an elbow in the face. But yeah, and so there's some other great courts out there in the Waukesha parks. Like I know in Pebble Valley, there's a great court down there that's far enough away from residential and it's a bigger size for some good full court basketball. I also know Mendiola isn't just soccer fields, but on the other side, there's also two or three really nice full court basketball courts far enough away from residential. And I think it would be one of those parks, while there is rules while playing after dark, you probably could get away with playing after dark without being a nuisance to the neighbors that are, you know, living there, you know, while they sleep. So, but anyway, this is St. Patrick's Day week, and we want to talk more about that and more about what's going on in Waukesha for that. And we look forward to your calls, too. Give us a shout, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. We want to hear about what you love about Waukesha and what you'd like to see, what Waukesha could do to become more of a destination spot, or what you think is the number one issue in Waukesha life and Waukesha politics. One thing I did want to mention from City Council last night is that the council approved unanimously the appointment of Sherry Myers as the new director of cemeteries, and people are really pleased with how that process worked itself out. So, but stick around more. Don Brown Connect filling in for Matt Flynn Direct, talking all things Waukesha and St. Patrick's Day week. Don't go away. Too far, too soon.